Welcome to Now to Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. And I'm going to talk about, people have been asking me to talk about hurt and sadness repression. Because I'm an anger repressor. It's just easy to talk about that because that's my direct experience. But I've lived, as you guys know, in a relationship for many years with someone who's a hurt and sadness repressor. I've surrounded myself with hurt and sadness repressors since then. I mean, now I have people around me who I see have that. Well, so it can't really come from direct experience, although we all have in common the fear of being our authentic, like vulnerable self. That can look different based on what your repression is. So what feels right is to talk about this in as personal a way as I can, even though it's not my pattern, because there are actually some common things between anger repression and, like, let's just call it hurt repression. So when I say hurt repression from this point forward in the podcast episode, I'm referring to the repression of any kind of vulnerability. So it'd be like, there'd be a lot of things that are scary in that, perhaps. Intimacy. Obviously the feelings of hurt, sadness, grief, woundedness. Difficult, if not impossible, to feel and express those. Empathy gets grouped into that, because with empathy, you'd have to relate to the hurt of someone else, and that can be too close. Even, frankly, people who repress hurt and sadness can appear as if they're not compassionate, but they are. They have it in them. But again, if compassion in some way gets too close to their own hurt, might not show that. Okay, so that set of things, which is all fear, is what I'm referring to when I say hurt repression. And what I want to focus on is this. This touches me. I tell you, this is why I wanted to approach it from this angle, because I can feel this. You know, I was in a very close relationship with someone, as I said, with hurt and sadness repression, and I kept seeing guilt. Shame, guilt, shame, guilt, shame, guilt, shame, guilt, shame. And it's like, if I visualize these things. Like when I was a musician, I always visualize melodies. Melodies are visual to me. I see them. And I kind of see people in that way. And when I see someone doing that, it's like the vision I get is they're dancing on the outer edge of their pain. And it's very painful to be in guilt or shame. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gaslighting intentionally. I'm just saying they're dancing around their deeper fears, which is the fear of those vulnerable things which they would actually share with people, like hurt and sadness, empathy, love. To feel guilty, and especially to apologize, sorry guys, it's safe. I was on the receiving end of so many apologies through the years from someone who repressed hurt and sadness. The first few times, because I had anger repression, I was like, oh, well, thank you for apologizing in that kind of gross way, which doesn't get to one's own buried emotions. But after a while doing repression inquiry, you know, he'd come and apologize to me after. Here's the cycle for him. It would be he gets angry because the hurt and sadness repression makes that response come. And it's often coming from some guilt or shame. So then he feels bad and he apologizes. Every time he did that, well, when he first would do it, I would feel the rush of chemicals coming through. Be like, oh, I love you. Because I did love him, and I do. But there were also feelings that I couldn't get to when we were jumping to apologies because of his guilt. And don't worry, I've had my fair share of guilt and shame too, but I'm talking about hurt and sadness repression. So if that's one of the cycles or patterns that you see, KI is great for that, which is this, first of all, it's a whole consciousness. It's like it has nothing to do ultimately with guilt and shame. It has to do with fear and fear of you being yourself, feeling and expressing your vulnerability, those emotions, those traits. And so because you can't feel and express that, there's that fear of that held in your body. And then you might get angry again on top of that, or in some way feel guilty about what you're doing or saying or not doing or saying, or feel ashamed of yourself. And then that guilt or shame is what keeps you at the outer edge of that cliff. Like you're just, that's how I visualize it. You're dancing around it all. So can you visualize a cliff for a moment? Or like it's a big hole, big round hole in the earth. And when you jump through this hole, you find your liberation because you let go of your defenses. You find your authenticity. But scary for a hurt repressor, that hole represents the fear that they're not even conscious of. This stuff doesn't arise. So in that hole, in that darkness in the body is, again, fear of hurt, sadness, these things. Now, what is around the edge, which will keep someone dancing around the edge of the hole, is guilt, shame, identities. It's safer for somebody with hurt repression to just feel like they're wrong. It's such a common thing. And then, like, if I'm wrong, I have to apologize. Guilt, so connected. And then if I apologize and I feel wrong, then I feel better and I don't have to feel what's ever in that hole. I don't have to jump in that hole. I can just keep sort of surviving in this relationship by, and the vicious cycle is that the hurt repression, what's ever in that hole, creates all the responses. You know, like the anger, if I'm on the outer edge and I'm angry because in the hole in my body is this hurt and sadness repression. Well, that's going to be dancing around the issue. And then if I feel guilty because I'm angry, or maybe disconnection even, that dances around it. It's just safer to just be here and disconnect. Or if there's an avoidant attachment style with that hurt repression, that helps. I'm just telling you how it feels on the edge. We've got to do anything we can, anything and everything as a hurt and sadness repressor to not jump in that hole. And even when you come to KI, you'll say, what's in that hole? I'll say, well, don't let your mind try to figure that out, because you'll keep dancing around the edge. And this is another thing I want to talk about with hurt and sadness repression, and why I visualize it as a like this dancing around the outer edge of the core of suffering. And then we call that the net. It's just a network of programs in that hole in your body, which correspond to the fear of feeling and expressing hurt, sadness, grief, the fear of getting hurt again or losing people because of it. That's what's in there, along with the fear of death. But listen, the fear of death is around a false self. That comes back to repression. So that's still fear of sadness and hurt creating that false self. So really, in that hole is frozen fear of those vulnerable emotions and of getting essentially hurt again or losing people. And that's basically it. Keep it simple, because that's the scary stuff, and that's the stuff in the body that we're driven by it, or you are, and you can't see it because you're dancing around the edge. There's another way of saying that is you're identifying with what's safe to protect you from what's in that hole, which to your system feels very unsafe. So all of KI, the entirety of it, is to get you in that hole safely, to transmute the energy of separation in that, because that's what's scaring you. But that's your freedom, remember, and you're going to try to dance around it. But before you even get to KI, this is the cycle that I want to talk about, because a big part of KI is context. There's three areas, like context. You have to have an understanding of what we're doing. It's not just any old or non-dual approach or processing approach. We're going straight to the hole. We're going, nope, don't pass go, don't go anywhere else. If you have to hang out in the interior, you do that until the edge. But the encouragement is, here's the skill to go into the hole, because basically very few modalities do that relentlessly in a kind of zen-like way, and that's what you need to do. So the dancing will happen around the outer edge, and from a very early age, for hurt repressors. And again, I feel such love, because you know I love Chester, that when I talk about this, it doesn't feel personal, but there's a lot of like love and a tinge of sadness, because watching this, when somebody can't access sadness their whole life, I could just look at him not being able to jump in that hole and I could feel sadness. But of course, that was safe for me because in my hole is the buried anger. But I mean, it was just easy, and it still is, to like, when I meet somebody who spends their whole life dancing around that edge. So how you do it before you get to KI is, look for this. The thing that drives you in that hole is the fear of that vulnerability. But you'll go in every other direction other than into that hole. And that's the avoidant spiritual path of the hurt repressor. And I've seen it, but it starts way before spirituality. Well, it can include spirituality early, but it's like you go to the doctor, you go to the therapist, you go to recovery, you try this thing on the internet, that thing on the internet, you try to just do it yourself a lot, you know, like gonna pull myself up and gonna be different this time. I see that pattern a lot, but you're just driven by that unconsciousness, so you can't. And this pattern of going in every direction other than in the hole just perpetuates the suffering. Point blank, I mean, by definition, because it's a very literal avoidance. It's like what you need to do for your own benefit is to make the fear in that hole in your body conscious, which I've already defined what it is. But what you'll do is you'll try to stay safe and get love, because you want to stay safe from what's in that hole. And so you want to get love as your separate self identities. And it's a lifetime of confusion and kind of loss, like a kind of an aimlessness to it. Like I've watched hurt repressors and sadness repressors just kind of sit there, and it's hard for them to like take action, sometimes constructive action to just change their life. And they have no idea why. And then when they try to change their life, when they encounter issues, they'll focus on those issues and then they'll miss the point. So for example, they'll say, well, I'm going to get my life in order, so I'm going to start working out every day. But they don't realize that there's a resistance to that, because that involves getting better and doing better and showing up in your life. And that would involve possibly being vulnerable and authentic. And how would you ever see that working out has something to do with that? I mean, see how hard it is? And then people go to try to work out, or they try to fix their habits around working out. They don't realize they're just really hurt and angry around something, and they're just sabotaging themselves for safety. And the hurt repression will grab onto anything because it just needs safety and love, just pure conditioning. But it'll show up as, I can't develop a habit of just changing this, or like addiction. Watching people with hurt repression struggle with addiction, and do like a lot of addicts do, try to change this behavior, which really has nothing to do with it, because you're using that behavior to hold the hurt and sadness down and anger. And you're not focusing on that. You're focusing on today's addiction or tomorrow's compulsive behavior as a way to distract yourself and stay on the outer edge of that deep fear in the body driving it all. And so that's a good focus. You can stay for years in that, I've noticed. You know, in and out of recovery programs, or in and out of different ways of trying to manage addiction, completely avoiding the fear in the body, not even knowing that it's there. There's a lot of stuff that you guys are drawn to that's exactly opposite of what you need. And that's part of that avoidant pattern, because you're just quite naturally drawn to what your ego wants. I mean, to stay safe and get love. So when you come to spirituality, you tend to get, not all of you, but you tend to, what's the word? Have authority issues, first of all, because you were hurt by somebody, like a dad or something. That makes it hard for you. But the spirituality sometimes that you go for is the, not always, it's just opposite of vulnerability. It's just a really big category of spiritual methods and processes and therapies that truly do not get to vulnerability. Now, I've met people who have like a therapist and a spiritual teacher, and the therapist and the spiritual teacher both focus on vulnerability repression. I've got someone right now like that. It's brilliant. And I think it's just rare, actually, because a lot of times you'll find teachers that like, they like to talk about the big universal awakening, the big stuff, and then it's such a distraction from, because that's your ego, you know. Don't be small or weak or vulnerable or any of that. Just big awareness, or, you know, big realization. Some of you, not all of you, kind of chase that transcendence in that way quite naturally, just like anger repressors, no different. Except that you might be drawn, I don't know, some of you are drawn to like the peaceful teachers who were anger repressors, just like you're drawn to those in your relationships. Because we anger repressing teachers, I don't count myself as that anymore, have a kind of false peace. Sometimes it's real, that you don't have, because the hurt repression creates disturbance and turbulence, including anger. So that's a shadow. Yeah, if you have a lot of anger, a peaceful person can be really attractive. That's why Chester was attracted to me, one point of it. I had the awakening plus the anger repression. So I just felt really safe, because when he grew up, there was just wasn't any peace with him and his parents. Not really. So you just have to look at that to see what you're drawn to, because sometimes you're drawn both in your personal life and in your spiritual life to people who are just really safe. They kind of, they're your shadow, or they hold what you repress. Like, you can't, for whatever reason, you have to be careful with that, because, for example, if you're drawn to that because you experience anger, anger is not your issue. So if you chase the peaceful teacher, well, that teacher's not going to help you at all with anger if they're an anger repressor. But that's not your issue. And if you're angry, your issue is vulnerability repression. So if you chase the kind of peaceful teacher, you just hope that they take you to your vulnerability repression. But anger repressors who are teachers and helpers generally don't get to repression. That's the problem. So no matter who you choose, it's like you're either choosing your opposite or your sameness. You're choosing another hurt repressor quite often. And you go, who's going for the big realizations or the distracting from vulnerability, or even the anger repressing teacher who's peaceful, maybe even vulnerable. What I would say is you're probably better off there, right? But it's going to be hard for you. Even if you find a teacher who points to vulnerability because you have repression, if they don't talk about repression, you'll feel rather, and I notice you guys do feel disconnected from the spiritual teachers. Like, you can't quite, that's the other thing I see with hurt repression. You have difficulty connecting, both because of the authority issue and also because they don't get you a lot. And I didn't either, frankly, get you before this work. Here's what I mean by get you. We really make some errors when it comes to hurt repression here, some of us teachers, because we'll look at your anger and just be completely bamboozled by it. Because like, if we repress anger, and we'll focus on it and totally distract you, and you won't even know what's happening. Let me just tell you what it was like as an anger repressing teacher when somebody who would come into my meeting was rather angry. Because a lot of us anger repressors are also empathic, and we can feel you when you come in. And we have a system that detects it. That's not a good thing. I don't, you know, it's like, oh, you're very empathetic. No, this is how we protected ourselves from people like you growing up. So it's a complete bias to be even tuned into you and your anger. But with our empathy, sometimes we were, or I was, and you would sit down in the meetings and I could visibly and see and feel your anger. Well, not knowing that that came from hurt repression or how to take you to it, you might have become focused on peace with me. Because there's nothing else I can do for you. I can help you just allow your anger, and that could be peaceful, but it's not going to get you to who you are if I don't have some extra skills to get to the hurt repression. So that's where the trauma bonding comes, because an anger repressor is just afraid of their own anger. So they might be really wanting to help you with your overt anger because it's scary. That's the real reason. And having that motivation, we might not even be interested or even know anything about your vulnerability repression or how to get to it. But as long as you're peaceful and you're not angry over there, I can get on with the meeting. See, it's not that loving, really. What's really loving is just to point blank say to you, you've got buried hurt. That's why you're angry. Do you want to go to it? Let me show it to you. So there's just a bias and a kind of discrimination in a way that's inherent when you have a spiritual culture in which there's a lot of anger repression, trying to help people with hurt and sadness repression. We're not understanding what we're even seeing. Well, that ties into the guilt and shame, because it's like, how can I help you with anything else? And you guys bring your guilt and shame to spiritual teachers and therapists. But if we don't get to your vulnerability repression, all we can do is help you kind of process that stuff on the outer edge of the whole, the guilt and shame. And then you might get some peace, but you don't get yourself because you're down in that hole. Your buried hurt is such a part of who you are that you can't exclude it like that and just process shame and guilt. But we'll lead you to it. We'll enable you. If we don't know the difference, we'll just sit here and help you process your guilt. Become more empathetic. Be more apologetic for your anger or whatever. We're going to do something other than get to the root of your suffering, is what I'm saying. Because it's in the hole. It's buried in your body. It's not anything that you're presenting to anyone, including that anger or that shame or that guilt. It just took me, 13 years of teaching to finally see you in that cycle. I had to live with somebody and I had to suffer because of my own anger repression and get my shit out of his shit, basically. So that's a whole nother podcast. Well, that goes into this another thing for hurt repressors is like this. You're often the bad one. You know, it's like that plays into your guilt and shame too, especially when you hang out with anger repressors who have to be the good ones. And so like this division just kind of hangs out in a lot of relationships and a lot of spirituality where it's like that guy over there, he's got his ego because he's angry and I'm not. So it's really just hard for you to get met. That's what I want to say for hurt repressors. I just don't know where it is that you would go to be met, really, in this world. Because when you go to an anger repressing teacher, they can't take you to your real vulnerability. They haven't gotten to theirs. And if you go to another hurt repressor who doesn't work with repression, they're going to distract you from the whole. You almost have to interview people. But yet you don't have the power to do that because of the repression. It would be great if you could empower yourself to ask questions to people and say, where are we going? What are we doing? But you don't have the consciousness to do it because you've been on the outer edge. And so if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, I can help you with that guilt, you're like, thank you, because that's safer for you, see? And your system just goes there into a bypass to deal with the guilt. And that's not the issue. The reason you feel guilty is because of some trigger or your response to it. You felt bad. There again it is, bad. And then you identify with that. I laugh because it's empty for me, not because I'm trying to gaslight you. But you go back to, I'm bad. And then, you know, here somebody else might be good. And they're playing into it. But that's their work to do. Your work is to see that I'm bad or I'm wrong is just protecting you from the hurt. Because that's on the outer edge too. And I'm just trying to help you not spend so much time on that outer edge, whether you're in spirituality or out of spirituality or in KI or out, cycle just continues. People are just doing this. You know, you might have different words for it, but look at your life and you can see it. Yeah, I just think there's some things that you can watch out for early. If you're not going to interview people, teachers and helpers and therapists, just ask them, if you can't do that, where are we going? Because if you don't even know you have hurt repression, you couldn't even ask them that. See that? That's how relationships are so unconscious. Helping relationships, when you go try to get help, you don't know the questions to ask. Because you don't know the repression that drives everything. So you just hope that there's a therapist or a teacher or someone, a friend, who will spot it and keep you focused, but your system doesn't want to be focused on that. So I have hurt repressors who hang around me as a teacher for months and even years before they even start KI. They really do have to hear about all these things on the outer edge. And they have to like go suffer more, feel disconnected, and then finally go, okay, it must be about something that's in that hole there that you're talking about. And then the last thing I want to talk about are your quite natural trauma responses in relationship, which are all your own. I can't tell you how you live your life, but just see if you see any of this. One of the most obvious trauma responses for a hurt repressor is the fight response. And that's like standing on the outer edge still, because the hurt repression drives that. It's safer to get angry and fight, but then it doesn't, you don't get into the hole where your authenticity is, because the anger protects you. That fight response creates issues in relationship, of course, because there's repression and trauma behind it. And whenever there's repression and trauma behind something, it's creating suffering. And the way it's creating suffering for you in that instance is the anger is covering up your real feelings. So you're not showing up authentically in that relationship, in that situation. And the issue is how it keeps reoccurring, if you notice. You may also have a freeze response or kind of a disconnection, because if it doesn't feel safe to go into anger, you might even feel anger but not express it. And that looks like a freeze or a shutdown or avoidance. And it can even be an avoidant attachment style in a relationship. If you, instead of fighting, you tend to just withdraw, avoid those conversations, disconnect, or you might have both. Because with hurt repression, it's kind of common to feel anxiously attached, because you don't want to feel the hurt of, or the sadness of losing someone. And so there's the fear there. And then that might be even joined in with some avoidance too, like you're anxiously wanting reassurance. At the same time, when somebody gets too close, you might start avoiding them. And if they start pulling away, you might start being anxious. Not everybody has that push-pull dynamic. It's all energetic though. And hurt repressors are kind of known for that. Depending on what the attachment style is like pulling you in because they need love. You know, you guys need love even though you bury that need. And then when you get into a relationship, it doesn't feel safe. It's too close to the vulnerability. So here come the responses, the fight, the attachment styles to keep you safe. Then there's your suffering from your side. And then I've lived with that, so I can tell you that it depends on who you're with and what their repression is, but that's a trigger for anger repressor, all of that. And that's why there's so much suffering, because you're going in every direction other, first of all, than vulnerability, and vulnerability is safer for an anger repressor, so it makes an anger repressor feel unsafe to see the shame and the guilt and the anger, but not the vulnerability. It doesn't mean the anger repressor's vulnerability is real. It just means it's safer. But you can see the recipe for suffering, because if you're angry and you're with an anger repressor, that's going to be a trigger, even though it's safer for you. You might not understand why your anger repressing partner keeps freezing or fleeing, but that's why. It just, your natural conditioned response is an automatic trigger, but you're not responsible for their response. They are. It's more important for you to focus on how your anger covers up your hurt and to do KI on that. But also people, if they're experiencing you in, so shame and guilt, when you go into those cycles, how it affects the relationship is that now we can't talk about things that are real. An anger repressing partner might not know why you can't talk about certain things. They may or may not want to talk about, but you might feel guilty or ashamed, and that's a trigger for you, and they may know that. So they might stay away from certain things because they know that you have a shame, anger response or a guilt shutdown response. So then they, again, that's not your responsibility, but they may then shut down, which then they can imagine what that does to a relationship. You see how standing on the outer edge and not going into the hole produces suffering. It's really not important to talk anymore about how other people perceive you because it's not your business. And that's one of the issues with hurt repression is that you'll focus on, you'll even mold your personality sometimes to how to be who you think other people want you to be because you don't know yourself. So by focusing on their response to you, it keeps your hurt buried. It keeps you angry because you don't even understand their response to you. If you don't understand your own trauma, you're not going to have insight as to why they're shutting down or what their repression is. So focusing on them is just part of standing on the outer edge. And that's how your codependency arises too, is focusing on either being taken care of or taking care of people or both. Instead of standing in a secure way of being, in which, then I'll just talk about the things that to look forward to here. Because hurt repression is obviously very scary. It's not my repression, but I can see that it's very scary for people. But having been someone who can express vulnerability fairly easy, I've had some issue with it, I can tell you that it's just conditioning. Now, if you would have told me years ago, well, anger repression is just conditioning, I'd be like, I don't care. I don't want to feel and express anger. So you might feel that way, but you'll have a different consciousness later that is not afraid of that emotion. Now, here's why you want to do KI, even though there's resistance to it, perhaps, because you have to see that you're driven by these unmet needs when you were a kid. So it wasn't safe. You didn't get love, attention, the affection that you needed, the empathy, the things that a child needs. But beyond that, you didn't discover what you are. Obviously, right? You didn't come into the world awake to the awakeness and then allowing all of your experience. You came in missing a really fundamental need. Prior to that need for attention and love, you didn't get to know who you are. So KI, like all non-dual teachings, focuses on how we're the awareness to which things come and go. So maybe you've already been drawn to non-dual teachings as a hurt repressor. Very natural, because there's a bypass in that. It doesn't necessarily focus on repression or vulnerable emotions. You could be easily driven by that desire to wake up. That's not a problem, but the fundamental need needs to be met. It's not just about awakening to awareness. That can be safe for you. You won't embody that because it's too scary to go to the vulnerability. I want you to think of awakening differently, if you would. If you'd be so inclined to just open up to a different context, it's not just about the awareness. It's not just about presence. It's about the other part of getting that fundamental need met, which is to feel and express it all, to allow it all. And you can't do that because of the buried hurt, sadness, grief. See that? So you have to process that, because that buried part of yourself creates these needs. You couldn't be yourself as a kid. You couldn't just be a vulnerable little kid. And so those needs for attention and love and affection weren't met in some way, and you couldn't feel and express the vulnerable hurt. Do you feel me? You may not be able to feel this, but I can feel it for you. That's what happened, because I've experienced that too. And so your unmet needs are connected to buried hurt, sadness. And these unmet needs are driving you in all your relationships and everywhere you go. The problem is that these unmet needs are also very vulnerable. So you're probably not focused on them, just like you're not focused maybe on vulnerable emotions. But this is how you create your suffering, is by not seeing that you have a need for love and for safety and affection. But to even really become conscious of that, you have to get to the buried hurt. and sadness, because again, when you were a kid, when those needs weren't met, your system protected you. And it just stored that sadness and hurt. So the fact that you can't feel it is of no import. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter because you stored it. It's there. Emotions don't go away. So they're either felt, expressed, or they're stored in some way. So for that, you stored that. And then right there with that is in your body, the conditioning of how you need love and affection and attention and approval and all those things that you, that are driving you. Well, let me leave you with this. I know many women repress vulnerable emotions. Ina is a trainer here, is super wise and skillful, and she has that. But I want to talk about men for a second as I leave you, because culturally, I think we can spot this more easily, that men in different cultures, they're conditioned not to feel and express the vulnerable stuff. And so there comes the masculine identity, the dominating, powerful, whatever, bad boy, all that, that people are both attracted to and repulsed by. When I was a kid, I saw my dad cry. And he was an anger repressor, so that was safer for him. But he could show hurt and sadness. So I saw that early in a man. And it just felt like that's natural. Now, when I grew up, I saw that a lot of men couldn't express that. Some could. And I could see that was just a conditioning in them. And they couldn't see it, that they have that capacity. So when I work with people here, something really beautiful happens as I watch the process, because I've seen that that emotion is available to all of us. But I'm working with someone who's doing KI and they can't access that. But then as they do the work, they can. And I've seen it come through their eyes. And it allowed me to be just spiritual for a moment. It is like the eyes of God, or that you're waking up to the eyes of God, because those are eyes that see separation when you have hurt repression. Because you have to identify with things that are false, and those eyes show you that duality. But when you start to be able to express those vulnerable emotions that were so buried, it's like that thaws out and those eyes can feel and see beyond it and no longer need to identify with these things that they grew up identifying with. I'm not good enough, or I'm wrong. I mean, it really is a true transformation to watch somebody go through that. And it is, of course, with anger repression too, but it's different to watch that for me, because I already knew that emotion was available. But to see someone else wake up to it, whose suffering was always created by the fact that they couldn't, is really powerful. So how would you know if you're a hurt and sadness repressor? You can go to repressiontest.com. It's a free test. It'll start to show you if you have more contraction around the hurt and sadness than you do the anger. If you're more inclined to feel anger than you are hurt or sadness in life and in relationship, probably a hurt, sadness repressor. Take the test and that'll put you on the newsletter. But if there's something that you heard where you're just ready to start the work, I put a link in the description that takes you to a free talk with me about my one-on-one mentorship programs if you're interested. But if you're not interested in one-on-one, just hold tight. You can either just hang out on the newsletter and wait, or you can join my KI Jumpstarter group and learn these tools in a group setting. Thank you.